You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Ladies and gents, all things covered. Listeners and viewers, once again, we back. Another jam-packed show for you guys. B-Mac, Brian McFadden, Pat P, Patrick Peterson. You guys know how we rock and roll. First quarter of our show. Our show always feels good. It hits differently after a big-time win. So with that being said, it's time to get into our check-in. Lions recap. The Vikings win their second home game. They're undefeated, playing in the crib right now, 28-24. My score prediction last week, Pat P, I wasn't that far off. I had 24-13, of course, Vikings win, and you guys were able to win. Man, let's talk about the game recap, man. Back and forth affair against a divisional team, a team that has really shown the ability to be able to fight. They don't just take punches anymore. They're swinging back. But tell us about the vibe of the game and what ultimately led to the win for the Vikings.
I just think, you know, it just showed, you know, all the situational things that we've been working on all offseason that I've been talking about that you know, that kind of hinder us last year from being as successful as we wanted to be, you know, and quite honestly, just having been, you know, with the group on the sideline and having gone through these situations last year, just understanding that we really put in the work, you know, throughout that week of preparation. Like, we know, you know, what we have to do. We just have to take it a play at a time. Yeah, we know that we're in a hole right now, but just keep digging, you know, just keep digging. We know it's an uphill climb, but just take it a play at a time, continue to rely on the brother and the guy next to you. And, you know, we'll see what happens at the end of the game. You know, obviously we was fighting that entire game, going down 14 early, then going down 10 again late in the fourth. But like I said, you know, guys just looked each other in the eye and just said, we got to grind. This is the second time that we have an opportunity to face adversity in this early season. We're 0-1 right now. Can we be 1-1?
Yeah.
So we end up coming out on top. It was a great team win. Special teams played well. Offense, you know, came through when they needed to. Defense made some key stops when they needed to. And ultimately, we got the dub.
Yeah, and the game this past Sunday against the Lions, if you go back and look at the 2021 season, those were the type of games you guys were losing. You know, one possession game down to the wire, you were finding ways to lose. And it's a bright spot to see you guys find a way to win. What was the biggest turning point in that ball game against the Lions, Pat Pete?
I probably just say, honestly, just understanding that we've been in this situation before. You know, we've gotten better in the red zone. We've gotten better on third down situations. We've gotten better in 2-minute situations thus far throughout the season. So now, at the end of the day, we just have to execute the game plan, you know, taking it to play a play at a time. And, you know, ultimately, I thought we had a solid game. It was just spurs and periods in that game to where we kind of had some mislaps, but at the, you know, at the end of the day, we end up, you know, not letting it be something that was looming. You know, we put the fire out early, quite frankly, than late, you know. So, you know, just being able to have the guys that been through those situations last year, understanding that we feel like we're like, you know, we understand, you know, the situation that we in. We've been in this situation before. Now it's our turn to prevail through these situations versus failing through them.
And talking about prevailing, what was it like seeing redemption for Josh Metellus? The previous play, he let one go. He let one slip through his fingers. But then finding a way to end the ball game with that interception, what was it like seeing those two plays happen?
Man, that was big for my man, Josh. Been having a had a great camp, been a great guy, you know, since I've been here, you know, mm-hmm. the last, you know, now going on the 2 years, you know, just a core guy on special teams and just always that Swiss knife that we need whenever we need to pull him out. You know, he's that important to us to where we can plug him in at any given time, you know, throughout the season, because he's very intelligent, has a very high football IQ, understands the game, knows how to communicate, you know, not afraid to talk, you know, and he has all the great traits, you know, to be a great safety in this game. He just, you know, obviously have to wait his turn, you know, being behind the great Harrison Smith. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when the opportunity comes, you know, he just does nothing but show up. And, you know, that's all you can ask for a guy, you know, that's in a role, that understands his role, but also is ready when his number is called.
Yeah. And you as an individual, Pat P, you had a big time pass breakup late in the ball game to force a fourth down. What was the keys to success for you on that play?
Well, for me, you know, I was, you know, had a cut split, you know, I was in a press technique, you know, we knew we had to be.
Explain cut split for our listeners and our viewers, please.
For the most part, he was had a close alignment to the end man on the line of scrimmage. But at
gotcha.
It was a tight end, if I'm not mistaken. He ended up running the out. Like, it started off running the out route, but I knew with me playing the game for, you know, forever now, with him running the out with me in a press, you know, technique, that's very highly, you know, unlikely that the quarterback's going to throw that route, because I'm already in press technique. I'm in close proximity of the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So I beat back just to make sure he wasn't throwing it, you know, to secure that play. Obviously, he ended up, you know, rerouting up the field, you know, and I knew I was in good enough position to where the quarterback was not going to put air on the ball, because Goff knows me better than that. If he puts air on that ball and give me time to get my eyes back on, it's more than likely going to. So I knew he was going to throw a back shoulder throw. So I just kept my eyes on my receiver, played through his hands, was just far enough to away from the receiver where I did not have any legal contact before the ball got there. So just had, you know, played through his hands and made a great play for the defense. And ultimately, it was a sneaky key play for that game.
Very, very, very much so, because like I said, that play, you know, forced the fourth down. And of course, we know how it all played out for you guys. You know, individually speaking, Pat P, how do you feel about your performance through 3 weeks?
Man, you know, I feel like I'm playing solid, man. You know, I wish there's a couple plays that I got that I could take back, like the dig early on in that game, you know, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, I felt I was pretty good in the move area. It was a 22 yard end breaking route. But I was on it. I caught him right when he tackled it. I mean, right when I tackled him, right when he caught the ball. I feel like my tackling is definitely has improved going into this season. I've really took that, you know, into consideration as far as me, you know, because, you know, continuing to be a well-rounded corner. You know, teams are going to force corners to tackle, you know, and I have to make your mind up, you know, going into each and every game, you know, that you're going to have to make tackles. I feel like my coverage is still there. I feel like I still have the speed to keep up with these receivers in the game. But I think I'm playing pretty solid. But leave it up to PFF Who knows what they say?
Hey, you know, they grade on their own grading scale. They got their own grading scale. So you know how that goes. Last question for you before.
I get a 90 or above every week for my position coach. So
that's all that matters.
All I want to know is who's grading, man. I just want to put some guys who actually knows coverages and knows who guy is, who has
what
responsibilities.
Yeah.
To say,
and see, and that's the most important thing. You got to know each player's responsibility to know exactly if they did what they were supposed to do or if they didn't. You know what I mean? And, you know, a lot of times most defense, they play a lot of combo coverages where you got two coverages in one based on what the offense come out in. Sometimes guys might improvise. I might be a half player, but I might tell you to invert. Now we swap roles.
They think right? Every man in the league, man.
Yeah, so a lot goes into the coverage standpoint for our listeners and our viewers. It's not, we don't get out there and just do it because we're fast, we're athletic, and we can backpedal. No, you got to be able to communicate. You got to be a thinker. You got to be able to make things call audibles, to say the least, on the fly. And that oftentimes happen. Last question before we transition to the Saints preview for you, Pat P. How does it feel? How does it feel, man? If you look at where you guys are, especially in the division, you play two divisional teams, you're 2-0. How does it feel to start off 2-0 in the division?
And that's huge, man, to get an early leg up on the division. You know, obviously we know it's a long road, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but obviously, you know, the first goal ultimately is to win your division, you know, to have an opportunity to secure a spot, you know, in the playoffs, you know, and obviously have an opportunity to be 2-0, you know, on our oppositions is great for us. You know, we obviously know is that we have a lot of work that we can continue to work on. Things that we can continue to get better at. But, you know, it's always good when you can have an early lead on your divisional opponents.
So, Pat P, Saints preview. You guys get ready to play the New Orleans Saints cross seas, cross the country, outside of the country, my bad, in England. What was your first time like, huh?
I said across the pond. That's what they say.
Oh, yeah, across the pond. Thank you for correcting me, my guy. But what was your first time like playing in England? The atmosphere, the week of preparation, and then the game?
We had an opportunity. I believe it was 2016, if I'm not mistaken. Bruce Arians last year, we had an opportunity to play the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams. That was their first year. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it was their first year moving into Los Angeles at that time. And we went there for the entire week. We was the home team, if I'm not mistaken. But it was different. It was different, man, because it was a different atmosphere being in another country. You know, the time change, the movement of life there is just totally different from the United States. Everything is much slower, much more open. So it was very hard to get to certain things, but for the most part, it was awesome because you had an opportunity to grow your fan base on a whole nother spectrum. You know what I mean? So it was awesome to have an opportunity to go there. Actually, it was 2017, October of 2017, when we played there. But having the opportunity to build a whole nother fan base was amazing, you know, and having an opportunity to play on a different continent was, you know, obviously a dream come true. Growing up, I'll never forget seeing that Monday night football game, Arizona Cardinals. I can't remember who they, maybe it was the San Francisco 49ers on the Monday night in New Mexico,
City.
Yeah, in Mexico City. So, seeing that, being a football fan growing up, always wanted to be a part of that, and now having the second opportunity to be a part of that is a dream come true.
And speaking of the international presence in regards to fans, you know, rooting and cheering and watching the NFL, we will see a lot of NFL fans in England this week for you guys' game. But I want to ask you this. Where is the most random place on earth that someone recognized you?
Most random place on earth that someone recognized me. It wasn't random, but I was very highly shocked that this guy knew I was there. I was at Scotland. I was playing at the St. Andrews, the old course. Played with a group of guys over there. And after the round, this kid ran up to me with a Arizona Cardinals red 21 jersey on. I still have the picture to this day. I'm going to send it over to Eric so he can get it on the show. Mm-hmm. He was like, man, I'm the biggest fan of yours, mate. This, that, and he's just talking in his, you know, his British accent, this, that, and other.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm the biggest fan of yours. This, that, I heard you was out here over at the old course. I had to get off work and come over and take a, I think he was just like, just graduated college or whatever. It's like, I just had to get off work, come over and take a picture of it. I had my jersey in the car. So it was a pretty cool experience to have an opportunity to meet a fan, you know, and it was during the offseason. So it wasn't even like I was over there on, you know, a football trip. You know, gotcha. I was over there literally on a golf trip. And the guy found out that I was there. And he ran up to me with his jersey on, and that was a pretty cool experience. But I probably say that was, I won't say that was weird, but that was pretty ironic that mm-hmm. happened in that, you know, in that continent at that time. It made me feel pretty special. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool yeah. moment.
And talking about this particular ball game against the New Orleans Saints, how important will it be to have Dalvin Cook and Harrison Smith in the lineup?
It'd be very important to have our two captains, you know, our two leaders, you know, in the lineup because, you know, the team goes, you know, as the leader go, you know, I'll never forget, you know, one of my favorite quotes that Coach Rapone, I don't know if he's still coaching with Tampa Bay, but he always said to me, you know, me and Tyron, when both of us carried that C on our chest in the secondary, he always said the speed of the leader will be the speed of the pack.
No question. I like that.
They always stuck with me. And ever since, you know, I've been honored to carry that C and other guys as well, is the speed of the leaders will be the speed of the pack. So, you know, having those guys in the lineup would be, you know, will be great for us. You know, having two leaders, two playmakers, two game changers back in the lineup will be great for us. But, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know, you know, what the status is on either of those guys, but I hope that, you know, we go through a great week of preparation and are able to have those guys in the lineup for sure.
Yeah. And then talking about the New Orleans Saints, you know, they got Michael Thomas back. He's healthy, but he's not quite on the same pace as he was a few years ago. But what type of challenges does he present?
Man, you know, as soon as I get off the show, I'm about to go get on my New Orleans tape as soon as I get home. But having an opportunity to, you know, just go through my memory log of Michael Thomas, very, very talented receiver, have very good burst of speed. He's not the fastest guy, but he have a great burst of speed, very good route runner, very strong hands, going to make those contested catches. You know, so like I said, I haven't had the opportunity to watch those guys on tape this year because I, you know, knowing that he missed, I can't remember. I know he missed last season.
Did basically, the last 2 years almost.
I thought so. So, yeah.
It's been a mess.
You know, it's not much tape on him, but just like I said, going back through my memory log of the receiver, Michael Thomas, that I, you know, I was able to face. You know, Michael Thomas over the that I had the opportunity to face over the times. He's a difficult receiver. You know, a taller stature receiver. He's I won't say on a skinnier side. He's more on a stouter. I don't want to say stout, but he's a receiver that's not skinny. He's not big, but he's just nice and cut to mm-hmm. where he can
big body. You know, make
exactly. He's just a big body receiver that can, you know, like I said, make those contested catches, that can make, take the ball, you know, extra yards after the first contact, you know, so not able to be, you know, be able to watch these guys on tape, you know, not seeing how they're going to be able to utilize him just yet. Just like I said, just going back through the memory log. But, you know, being a great receiver that he is, you know, it's not going to take long for him to get his streak going. Hopefully his next week, not this week.
Yeah, not this week against you guys, but maybe the following week. How about that? In the last two seasons, he's only played in 7 ball games. So he didn't miss both years but he missed the majority of the last two seasons, only playing in 7 ball games. What will it be like, you know, seeing your former teammate, your good friend, your homeboy, your fam, Tyrann Mathieu, as an opponent, you know, after all the time you guys spent together in college and, of course, you know, in Arizona? Is this the first time you actually play? Is this the first time y'all playing against each other as opponents?
This will be my second time. We played against him in 2018 when Steve Wilkes was out
here. The Texans?
No. Huh?
In 18, he was with the Texans or the Chiefs?
18, he was with the
Kansas City.
They did not win in 18, but yeah, he was there in 18 for sure.
Gotcha.
That was 18 because Cliff first year was 19.
Gotcha.
And that was, yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, in 2018, that was my first time playing against him. It was a great, great time, obviously, having an opportunity to see my brother again on the playing field in person. You know, so it's not going to be, as weird as it was last time. But I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, out there moving around in person versus, you know, on my iPad or on the tube, seeing him move around in person and, you know, hopefully not making too many plays on him. So I know how very instinctive he is and how allergic to the ball he is as well. But it's going to be a fun outing to be able to reunite with, you know, with one of my closest brothers in this, you know, I won't even say the football world, just in life in general.
No doubt. Hey, Pat P, will you reach out to Badger and put a little wager on the line? You see who could get their hands on the interception? Friendly little bet. So some Sprite, some tropical. Matter of fact, did you get your tropical Sprite?
Yeah, I was just about to say that, man. Shout out to Mac for getting that Sprite to your boy. I did get the Sprite. I did not have it today. I wanted to bring me a bottle today, but I forgot. But I will have it on the next show. But appreciate it, Matt. He gave me a nice 24 case. I mean, a 24 pack case. I appreciate
the bottles, too. You said you asked for the bottles, right?
Big bottles.
Yeah, the big bottles. Big bottles.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So you should reach out. You should reach out to Badger, man. Put someone in line, man. See who get their hands on the football this week.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember if it was Coke or Pepsi. I remember it was a dark soda that he liked. Maybe we have to put a Coke and a Sprite on him. Sure.
What's up with all you LSU boys drinking all this soda? He like dark soda. You like white soda, light soda, Sprite. What's the LSU thing?
No, Matt, for me, I never really drunk soda growing up because I always heard that it made your face get like these little acid reflexes on your face, like these little patches. Growing up, you know, the hood remedies.
Yeah, so exactly.
I'm always afraid of soda. The year I started really drinking soda was 2014. No, actually 15. Going after my post-diabetes when I found out that I was a diabetic.
Gotcha.
And then I cut off all the sugar, this, that, another. And then at the practice, I always found myself a little droggy. And I, you know, obviously cutting off the candy, didn't want any more sweets. And I found out that the Sprites was just good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2015, at the practice, I've been having me a nice cold Sprite.
There it is. All right. Hey, Tropical Sprite is Pat P's drink soda of choice.
Yes, sir.
He said it's great. Hey, man. And that's a nice little shameless plug to Sprite, by the way. Sprite, rock with us. You know what I mean? We just gave you a shameless plug, free plug. You know, my guy Pat P might like some free soda.
I'm trying to tell you, ain't nothing like a 5-finger discount.
No question. That's the best one going. Best one going. Before we go to our break, hit around the league. It's prediction time. Across the pond, are you guys the home team or the away team?
We are the away team.
Away team, so we're wearing white jerseys. Might be, depending on what the Saints wear. Prediction time. I got the Vikings winning 23-17. What'd you say?
I saw the Saints wearing some clean black helmets.
Oh, they got the black joints they're bringing out? Oh, they're bringing the alternate helmets.
Yeah, so they probably gonna be wearing black.
If they got black helmets, they might as well wear that all black.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. But my prediction for this game, 23-17, total of 40 points. I got the Vikings winning once again, get to 3-1. And that would be huge because that would give you guys three wins against NFC teams, which is huge in regards to playoff implications. So let's see exactly what happens.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Before we let you guys go, we got to tap into around the league, tap into some news circulating around the National Football League. Let's start within your conference, Pat P, the NFC. Who is the class of the NFC right now? When you look at the more notable teams, we just highlighted the Eagles earlier in the show, talking about what they've done. 3-0. You got the Rams 2-1. You got the Packers, who just beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But in your opinion, based on some of the things that you've seen or heard, who do you think is the class of the NFC right now?
Man, you know I got to pick us for sure.
As you should.
Yeah. Other than us, obviously we play one of the hottest teams right now in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are extremely talented. We're going to have Darius Slay, big play Slay, on the tube here later. But I'll probably say they are the hottest team right now in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Just I agree with you. Can't argue their record. They're undefeated. You can't argue how they've won ball games, the teams they played against. And I know some people might say, in totality, that Miami Dolphins might be a better team than the Eagles currently based on the teams they played against. But I think Philly has done it in a more convincing way, in my opinion. And speaking of the Miami Dolphins, they're 3-0, right? Do you think the hype is real?
I do. I like what I see from the Dolphins. I like the way that they're winning ball games, especially winning ball games like this early. Mm-hmm. Mac, that does nothing but build confidence. That builds
big time.
Into the team. Now you know that you can win these close games. Now you know, no matter what the situation is, you can come back. And when a team is like that, they're very dangerous. And that you can just see the confidence building in Tua. You can see the confidence building in the coaching staff. The guys, the players are believing of what the coaching staff are telling them, believing in the scheme, believing in the process to where it's showing up on Sundays.
No question. And speaking of Tua, they can say whatever they want to say. I don't know if you saw the actual play, but they talk about he had a little back ailment. Man, that man was concussed.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the play? You know what they say? Anytime you concuss, man, stay down. Don't get up. Man. Don't fight it. Don't fight it because you're going to lose that battle.
Wobbling, and the first thing they do is fix their face.
No question. Yeah. And then he tried to walk. He better be happy he didn't hyperextend that knee. Because he missed a step. When you're drunk, when you concuss and you try to walk, it's almost like that right leg is trying to go up a step, but the left leg is on level ground.
Hey, they missed with that one. But he stayed in the game. They figured it out.
No, he went out and he came back in, but he bounced back.
Well, what I'm saying, he finished that game.
he did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He finished the game.
All of them put him through the concussion protocol. I'm sure they did.
They said they had some independent doctors that, gave him the test and he passed. Man, that man was drunk. That's what we used to call. So in Pittsburgh, Pat P, anytime we saw someone get concussed, we like they get that prom escort. You know, when you go walk your date to the prom and take that picture, you know, that trainer come get that arm and walk you slow to the sideline. You get that prom escort. He needed to get that prom escort.
I agree, Matt. Hey, what no doubt about in my mind.
They're talking about a back. They said his back was what caused him to have the water legs, the wobbly legs. Huh? Man, that man was drunk. That's what they said. Talk about his back. He had some loose fragments in his back or something. So therefore his legs was kind of a little wobbly.
Fragments.
Hey, man. And they wanted the man to come back in the game because you know if he was concussed, he couldn't come back. You know that. Man, yeah, that's why I'm like, how y'all don't think this man is drunk? This man is drunk, man. He's asleep. He got up and then he fell to the, they had to go, whoa.
Hey. I saw the in this morning, man. I said, yeah, he was concussed.
Yeah, they say he had a back ailment. Hey, last thing we're gonna hit him before we let you go. The Pro Bowl is dead as we know it. You heard about the new Pro Bowl format?
Why you saying dead?
Is disco dead? Man, that whole Pro Bowl, the game? Ain't nobody playing no football no more in the Pro Bowl. Y'all wasn't playing anyway. Let's keep it real. They say they're going to do flag. I think flag football. That's what they say. How you feel about that, Pat? Please?
I'm not laughing at the fact that you said they turning the game to flag football. I'm laughing at the fact that you said that the game is dead as we all know.
As we all know it, the Pro Bowl dead. It's not coming back. It's not going to be reincarnated. It's gone.
The Pro Bowl is not.
It's flag football now, I think.
Time out.
Huh?
Time out. How are they going to implement a flag football game?
Heck, what you mean?
I'm going through. Obviously, I saw the news.
Yep.
I'm going through. How are they going to try to implement a flag football game? So how are they going to incorporate offensive linemen?
They ain't. You might have to have
7-on-7.
It can't be like, 7-on-7. It might be 9-on-9 or 10-on-10.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, at the end of the day, what they should do is just cancel the game. Like, this flag football is still, if they save, you know, injuries, you know, I know, but there's still going to be, it's still high-risk injuries in flag football. You're still going to have to make high cuts. You're still going to have to jump for the ball. There's still risk. There.
You know what they should do. This is what they should do, Pat P. I just thought of something. I'm a fast thinker, by the way, listeners and viewers. This is what they should do to the Pro Bowl, because to you and for your argument, even if you do flag football, you won't be able to incorporate offensive alignment and defense alignment. And guys not going to run full speed because they don't want to risk any type of injury with utilizing their competitive juices, right? So this is what we should do. The best players from the NFC go against the best players from the AFC. So we have different challenges, like, right? Let's do a golf challenge when you come to tee offs, right? Let's do golf. Let's do something like basketball, you know what I mean? Play a game of horse, or maybe a 3-point contest, maybe a dunk contest, or let's do a challenge like maybe a Jeopardy-like challenge, a trivia challenge where you get some of the smarter guys from each side, you got five of you, and let's do different challenges that will allow you guys to showcase your competitive edge, not utilizing all nothing but athleticism.
Right. And what I think they should do is put all of those on those major networks. Like if it's going to be a Jeopardy, have that on whenever Jeopardy is, you know, showing, have it on that night.
Yeah. What about some of these guys who big time cookers like yourself? Like we're going to get three people from the NFC. Y'all put together y'all favorite dish.
A cook-off that can go on a
cook-off
on a Wednesday.
You can have a cook-off. You can have a shoot-off, basketball, a tee-off. Listen, for all our faithful YouTube watchers, hit us in the comment box. You like my idea? Would you say, Pat P?
I said you can even throw in a bass fishing contest. You can go.
Yes.
You said tee-off. You can go. You can even go to like a, it's probably not in the contract, but, you know, go-kart racing.
Man, maybe a home run derby.
Something. But man, I just don't like the aspect of the flag football game. Because essentially that's what the Pro Bowl turned to in the last, you know, 7 years.
Basically. It's been flag. So now it's really gonna be flag because guys ain't gonna be out there running full speed trying to pull nobody flag.
Right. And I think what it comes down to is, you know, obviously guys are playing, going into contract years. We play a physical sport. Guys are not trying to risk their bodies for a basically a non-meaningful game.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So come up, the NFL should come up with a few different challenges. A tee off, a shoot off, a basketball, cook off. In a team, the best conference win.
I like it.
That'd be dope. So I think that
we can have, you know, maybe like a big man challenge on a Monday, a scale mm-hmm. challenge on Tuesday, something else, a combined challenge on Wednesday, quarterback challenge on Thursday, cooking challenge on Friday. You know, just make it more of a competitive challenge throughout the week.
Yeah.
Versus that flag football game. I don't know how I feel about that flag football game.
Just it's going to really be, it ain't going to be flag. It's going to be slow motion. Yeah, ain't nobody moving around fast out there.
No doubt about it. Because how are you going to be able to implement all aspects of the game? Therefore, you're not going to have I don't think they had kickoffs anyway. So therefore, you're going to have to go for it on fourth down every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to, but there's no physical attribute in that game to where the offensive lineman, defensive lineman can be involved in that. So
I agree.
Make it a full week of challenges.
No question. I agree. Hey, hit us in the comments. Let us know. Do you like the idea of flag football for the Pro Bowl moving forward? Or do you like our idea? Let's do certain things that showcase different skill sets from some of these players. Some of these boys can cook. Some of these boys can shoot. Some of these boys can play pool. You know what I mean? Hey, what about a kick off for our kickers? They got to get involved too.
Right. Like kicking it. Like how cool would it be kicking it off the top of the Bellagio or the top of the, off the top of the Cosmo or something like that into the fountain?
Oh,
or something
it
like
is
that.
In Vegas.
Hello.
It is in Vegas.
I like, how cool would that be?
I forgot the Pro Bowl will be in Vegas this year. It's a lot of different things you can do in Vegas.
Shout out to my daughters. Oh, man, we love the Sing movies. So, you know, the Sing movie shout out, shot in, not shot in Vegas, but animated in Vegas. And just seeing some of the cool things that they was able to do in that movie just made me think of some cool things that I feel that the NFL can do, you know, with some of the challenges. You know, with the Pro Bowl being there during that week. So let's see.
Yeah. No question. Let's see. NFL. I don't know if it's set in stone, but
I've been to eight of them. I know how to make some of them better. If you need some advice, holler at your boy.
No question. Holler at Pat Pete. Vegas getting ready for the 2023 Pro Bowl. Right now, it's flag football they're going to be watching. I don't know how entertaining that's going to be, but let's see if they have a thought process to change some of the ins and outs of the rules and the game and what will be on display for fans to see. Let's go. Let us know. Hit us in the comment section. Let us know if you like our idea. You want to see flag football? Or would you want to see guys do things you don't usually see them do? That's the thing. That's what I think. But I can tell you this much. One thing I know Pat P does, play good football. His Minnesota Vikings will be taking on the New Orleans Saints in England across the pond this Sunday. Make sure if you're going to be there in person, representing the Vikings, make sure you're loud. If you're gonna be able to watch the game from your home, from your living room, your bedroom, make sure you support. Matter of fact, is that an early kickoff? Is it like in the morning?
Yeah, it's like, I think like 8:30, 9:30 Eastern, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's one thing I hate when I wake up in the morning, game is already on, it's like in the second quarter. I hate that. Oh, well. Well, if you wake up late and you miss the start of the game, hopefully when you wake up, the Vikings already got a nice lead over the Saints. That'd be a great way to wake up on Sunday.
With a nice cup of coffee.
No question. No question. Well, there you have it, ladies and gents. I hope you enjoyed our show once again. Pat P, Brian McFadden, all things covered. Make sure you subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Also, the same can be said for a podcast as well. Anywhere where podcasts are found, make sure you hit us with that subscription there so you will be alerted of all our great content as soon as we drop it. See you when we see you. Peace.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.